Welcome to the Emo Social Club podcast, the podcast about music, news, and interviews. I am Lizzie, and we are talking this week with Chicago locals Motel Breakfast on the heels of their 420 Metro show here, and with some new music that they are putting out as well. But before we jump into that interview, we're just going to give a little bit of intro here at the top. Now, where's Brian? Brian's probably at home editing this video, most likely. And then sending me his YouTube results when he tries to speak into it, looking for the new 21 Pilots, but it's saying 21 Pilots coffee cake instead of overcompensate. But with that in mind, remember to go and follow us over on TikTok. We just hit 4,000 followers, which is insane. We've been posting a bunch of little clips on there, and we're also posting the full-length video of those clips that are being posted haphazardly throughout our TikTok and on our Reels on Instagram. So make sure you go and follow us at Emo Social Club on Instagram and at X Emo Social Club X over on TikTok. But if you want to interact with us individually, you can go and bully Brian over on his socials at SpookyPants1 and me over on mine at BoredomBathery. We don't have too much here at the top, so without further ado, we're going to jump right into it with our interview with Motel Breakfast.
Welcome to the Emo Social Club podcast, the podcast about music, news, and interviews. I am Brian.
And I'm Lizzie, and we're here with our new friends, local hometowners, Motel Breakfast, here with us this evening. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks. Thanks for having us. We've been confused. We've been announced as Hotel Breakfast at shows before.
Yeah.
So, wait, really?
some people just it goes over their head.
Yeah.
My name is Jesse. I'm the drummer. Sing one song. They let me sing occasionally, so that's cool.
That's very nice of them.
And this is my friend Nick.
Hey, I'm Nick. I do guitar. I don't sing.
We do not let him sing.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is bar. Yeah.
Is he the Kevin Jonas of your band then?
you're the Kevin for sure. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I am the Kevin. I was really hoping to be the Joe, but I'll take Kevin in this case.
I don't know the difference of any of these people in the Jonas Brothers.
They don't let Kevin sing for a lot of reasons.
I mean,
yeah.
I feel like I don't think the Jonas Brothers are comparative to the Beatles, but in this case, I'm going to compare them to the Beatles.
We're really jumping the gun here really early, Bestie.
I don't know. What, am I going to hurt the Jonas Brothers' feelings or the Beatles' feelings?
Well, half of the Beatles are dead. But
yeah, they don't know. So, I mean, sometimes Ringo gets a song. Sometimes Ringo doesn't get a song, It's like you gotta give everybody a little bit just so they're happy, but it doesn't have to be the greatest and most brilliant thing in the world.
Poor Ringo. I was getting a bad rap over there.
he's not getting it for not reasonable reasons, I guess.
Not for reasonable reasons.
Like, it's reasonable. It's like, hey, good job, Ringo. It's like, oh, you guys keep shitting on Ringo. It's like, well, Octopus's Garden. Okay, cool. Yeah, really good song. let's talk more about your band, though, not the Beatles or the Jonas Brothers. You are playing the Metro here in Chicago on 420 Blaze It.
420.
420.
Love it.
For the listener at home, we are all doing really cool Zoomer motions. I don't know.
Zoomer motions?
Make that face, Nick.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit. Let's get some people hyped for it. Like, what? Tell us about the show and tell us why they should come and see you.
So Metro, we definitely the biggest venue we've played here in Chicago. There's plenty to pick from, and we're just lucky to have been working with them. We played at G-Man, that is attached to the Metro, a handful of times. Friends with Jerry, who books there now. So shout out Jerry. It's our our record release. We haven't released an album since 2020. We did an EP and some random singles in between then, but our last album release show was February 28th of 2020, and then the world shut down after that. So feels good to be back with another album. We got some bands joining us that we haven't announced yet that maybe we'll leak on here at the end of this.
Hell yeah.
We also
have some friends joining us on stage. Every time we play a big Chicago show, we like to just bring bring some extra bodies up there. So we'll have an organ player. A lot of times you have a trumpet player. This time around, I think we're going to have a friend up there playing guitar and synth and things like that. So, yeah, we're stoked. We're probably going to play the whole album front to back, throw in some other stuff, maybe a cover or two. But yeah, 420 just happened to land on that. We're not a band that, you know, I don't know if there's a lot of people out there smoking pot to our music, but you know, if you do, that's cool. That's
yeah.
There's always somebody out there who's just like blaze it, and you're like, homie, really?
We had a random guy reach out to us on Twitter, like asking if there would be like marijuana related events. That's the terminology he used. He's like, that's a marijuana holiday. Will there be any cannabis events? I was like, no, but you're welcome to.
I mean, there's places around there you can just like go get some.
Yeah,
before,
you know? I don't want to tell anyone to smoke weed inside the metro. I'm assuming that's a no-no.
Yeah.
But you know, step outside for a minute. It sounds fun. We're really not a stoner band. I want him to know that though. Don't expect, you know, slightly stupid vibes from us.
We can clip this and you can send it to him later just to like really reiterate the fact.
Yeah.
Like just send him like 2 days before, be like, hey, reminder. Hey,
sorry, this is not a Grateful Dead concert.
We unfortunately will not have those socks that have the weed leaves on them.
Mm-hmm.
With our band name. Maybe that's a missed opportunity. I don't know, we have like a month or so, so maybe we can get those in the works.
Some fast printing on that.
Yeah, limited run. Only so many weed socks.
There's like three pairs of socks. We really do only afford a couple.
You're like, only three people will get the motel breakfast socks with the weed on them.
Yeah.
It is kind of unfortunate that we kind of are taking up some real estate on a really important day to some people. And I feel a little bit bad. I'm sure there's a reggae fusion band out there that's really pissed off that we took this.
I'm sorry to Sublime only.
Yeah, I'm sorry to Sublime without Rome.
Yeah.
No, now it's like the former lead singer's like son. So sorry to Sublime and the lead singer's son.
I think actually now they're broken up too.
Yeah.
We really can't win here.
I heard they broke up because they were looking for a show on 420 in Chicago, and they was like, there's no open venues.
Specifically in Wrigley. They really just needed a radius over that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we took that, unfortunately.
They're non-negotiable, and their contract was, we have to play Metro. And they're like, nah, damn, these little Chicago guys said, absolutely not. This is my date.
Sorry. that hotel breakfast band, those fuckers.
Yeah, and then you can just look around and be like, yeah, hotel breakfast, they really suck, yeah.
And you're like, that's so crazy, it's not me.
It's like, but motel breakfast
Motel
rules.
Breakfast kind of fucks, though.
You did actually, and they correct me if I'm wrong, didn't a band that their name is Hotel Breakfast, didn't they follow us on Instagram and like they want to set up a show? They're like from Philly or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they're a Philadelphia-based like punk emo band.
Oh shit, so kind of in line. It would work.
I'm going to say there's a 50% chance, you know, if we ever find ourselves touring out that way. I mean, we obviously reach out to them. The bit is too good to miss.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, you know, I'm just waiting for Japanese breakfast.
Yep.
This manager to get back to us. She'll probably lead the show.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, you have to stick to the bit, but then to even more so elevate it, you have to play in either a motel parking lot or a hotel, mm-hmm. like banquet hall.
That would be the dream.
Yeah.
Or Denny's.
But Denny's is the real dream.
Denny's should be the real dream.
Yeah.
Playing in a Denny's is the real dream is such a like perfect way of summing up like the pop punk ethos, I think. It's like we saw that shit and now it's like we all have to do it. And then Blink-182 took it and like now it's
for
everybody.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a band in Milwaukee called Bug Moment who we really like. We played a show with them, but we're going to set up a show in Culver's.
Yes, I saw that.
And it like blew up, you know, because it's awesome. Like, that's so funny.
And it was in the world's largest Culver's, too.
It was the world's largest Culver's. And like, you know, Radio Milwaukee like blew it up. And so did, I think, like the Journal Sentinel, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel wrote something to the point where I think it got so big that Culver's corporate kind of started to sweat a bit. And we're like,
They're like, all these punk kids are going to be here beating the shit out of each other and then eating our burgers. Absolutely not.
So I think I don't want to talk about what happened. I don't really know what happened, but I think the plug got pulled on it last minute, which stinks because I would have been making that drive.
I would have been there, no doubt.
It could have fit everybody. I believe it. I've been to the world's largest Culver, so it would make do.
Got to be the most Midwest thing you can plan.
Seriously. Oh, yeah. I mean, here's the
thing.
It
doesn't exist outside of, like, these couple states.
If you, like, called their event booking coordinator, could you say, I want to rent this out? Like, what are they going to do if you just have a band? But you, like, rent it out. You own that Culver's for a day. Like, what are they going to do?
I don't think they do that.
I don't. They could. I don't know. If you have enough money.
I don't know if that's just a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can call like a local McDonald's and be like, "Can I just rent it for a day?"
Yeah. You're like, no. This is the most. That's the most. Like, sir, this is a Wendy's type response you're gonna get.
But it doesn't hurt to try. People played in the Wendy's.
They won't play at Wendy's.
They could. I'm just saying that I think they'd be like, "No, this is a restaurant. We serve food here. We don't really rent it out for events." The McDonald's.
We had. We were in the studio. Like, it was one of our last days in the studio, and I like drew the shortest straw and had to go buy a case of beer or something at the Whole Foods down the street. And there was a full funk soul band playing in the middle of Whole Foods at like 7:15 on a Friday.
Okay.
And the store was more or less completely closed. There was not a single person inside besides this funk band playing. And it was kind of awesome, truth be told. Maybe we do something like that.
Yeah. Just set up in a Whole Foods.
Yeah.
A Jewel. I mean, that would be the real.
And then you get JoJo, the mascot, up in there too. You let him do something like it's Shake a Tambourine.
Love it.
You mentioned your record. It's coming out, and that's what the show is for. Not to derail us from the Jewel conversation. I realized that was abrupt. But, so you have the record coming out. It's called I'm Promise I'm Having Fun, and it's out on April 5th. You're playing the whole record at that show, but tell us, like, what can people expect when you're going to be playing that, and what should they expect to hear on it when it comes out?
Yeah, some of the singles are already out. One of the songs that will be on it, we actually released, like, over a year ago at this point. But there are a number of songs that folks, even if they have seen us before, might not have heard. April 5th coming out. What else to touch on it? I don't know. Jesse, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, so we've been recording for like 2 full years. A lot of these songs were written, a couple years ago. Like I said, we haven't released a full album since 2020, so there's definitely been some time. And we're at the point where like all five of us in the band are songwriters, so like we have a lot of music to kind of workshop together and like do a lot of writing together. So we've had a little bit of a backlog of music, so a lot of these it's really exciting to finally have them out in the world, and we're already kind of itching to we're getting ahead of ourselves, but we're already kind of ready for for the next step as well too. I think for this album, since all of us at this point are like contributing songwriting wise, the sounds on the album are a little bit different, which is really nice. So Mick is more of the Midwest emo, that's kind of what he listens to, and so he tends to write the songs with those kind of licks in it and things like that. One of our songs that Mick mentioned that's about a year old is MD as in Modern Baseball. That was the name that we just like named it in our notes app for a while, because Mick had a lick that just reminded us of Modern Baseball. And that kind of came about. But that on the flip side, our bassist is, wrote a couple of these songs, and he's really in the Radiohead and really into, a little bit more of the, like Brian Eno kind of like background music and really, just like texture kind of thing. Right. And so, I don't know. It's cool to have a bunch of different sounds on this record. It still feels like us, even though it's kind of coming from a bunch of different places. I think we have three different singers on this record as well. The first album was just one singer, Jim, who is sick today, couldn't be here. He was singing the whole thing. He still sings about 80% of our songs, but it's nice to kind of have, you know, contributions from a handful of us, except Mick. Like I said, we don't allow him to sing. So
everybody but Mick. So sorry.
Everybody but Mick. So yeah, it's exciting. It's been a long time in the making, and boy, are we ready to have it out there.
And I will say, compared to some of your older stuff that I've listened to, this is much more, you have like those twinkly emo riffs that I wasn't expecting listening to you guys, because usually I would say, oh, you're more in line with like Whitney, which is not traditionally Midwest emo. So what kind of made you guys pivot to this different sounds outside of just like having different songwriters at this point?
A big thing was just like Jesse said, is just having more songwriters. Truth be told too, I just kind of started experimenting with more of that style of writing songs. I myself didn't get into, you know, emo and Midwest emo music until like college. So I'm not one of those like scene kids from way back when. So I just sort of started learning the guitar. I told myself that's kind of how I wanted to approach songwriting. You know, that open tuning, kind of different, all kind of crazy tunings. I'd always kind of have fun with that. And then one day, I feel like it was when we first sort of started writing MB as in Modern Baseball. It just felt like that was a riff we were kind of headed towards, or that was like a feeling we kind of were doing, you know, more on the indie side. You know, I wouldn't necessarily put us in the emo realm, but we definitely are an indie band with a little bit of that, you know, sound to it a little bit. But I think it all just kind of comes from me tuning my guitar differently one day and thinking, hey, let's see what this sounds like.
We genuinely started as like a banjo acoustic guitar band. Like Mick only played a banjo at live shows for like the first year that we were a band. And now that was like 7 years ago. But yeah, and so it's cool to like you mentioned some of the older stuff. That was definitely more so the acoustic guitar driven. Like mandolin was all over that actually too. And now we've, you know, kind of fully changed that. A lot of it just from like, yeah, Mick kind of riffing on something specifically. It's also nice that when we kind of do some of these songs that enter into that like kind of more Midwest emo punk like you know world, our main lead singer Jim doesn't have to play a guitar, and he loves just kind of being able to like own the stage with just a microphone, you know. And so like it's kind of nice live to experiment with that too.
And I also saw on your Twitter that somebody tweeted out, if people don't like this new record, you're going to bring the banjo back. I don't know if that's much of a threat, but for some people it might be. So how will you know if you need to bring the banjo back out on stage?
Listen, the banjo's coming back. This is actually our opportunity to tell you guys, if you guys are expecting Midwest emo on this upcoming album, you're so wrong. It could not be more 2010 Mumford and Sons. Expect Little Lion Man, expect The Cave, banjo solos, didgeridoos.
Not the didgeridoo,
harmonica.
Mick is solely in possession of our Twitter account. I don't even think the rest of us have the password. So if you,
he said, I can't sing, I'm gonna be the voice of our
family. Yeah, so if you see anything on Twitter, especially the bad stuff, it's Mick completely. Yeah. He does basically run the TikTok account as well, so that's why that one's a little bit off the rail sometimes.
I mean, that's what you need to be when you're on TikTok, though. So, like, yeah. I feel like that tracks.
But yeah, no, how will I know if the banjo's coming back? I don't know. Realistically, the banjo's never coming back, unfortunately. it'll break my mother's heart. She really likes when I play banjo. Mm-hmm. We do have time for, you know, banjo stuff. And because weird little side, you know, thing that we do is pretty commonly play like Irish traditional music. Just something we don't really promote, but it's something we all enjoy doing, obviously. So there's always time and a place for us to have fun with the banjo.
I never knew that we would ever meet a band that has a side project of just doing old school Irish covers for music.
We actually recorded a full album that lives on Bandcamp that is just Irish, traditional Irish songs. So if you're interested, St. Patrick's Day is coming up.
Yeah, that is, drop it. Everyone needs to add it to their playlist now, their alt rock playlists.
We recorded it during COVID to raise money for some local charities. We grew up in a neighborhood that everybody's Irish Catholic. There you go, Pat Max back right there. Everybody's Irish Catholic in our neighborhood. So that was one thing that we all grew up with. But yeah, I forget that we actually have a whole Irish album that Mick home recorded, and it actually sounds pretty good.
You know, I imagine, yeah.
But it only lives on Bandcamp. I don't know if it's ever leaving there. That's probably it'll probably stay there forever.
Nah, drop it on Spotify.
No, just have somebody leak it. Be like, damn, it leaked. That's so crazy.
Oh no, it leaked. Yeah.
Is it under the same name or did you change?
Yeah,
like...
yeah. No, I mean it's like our normal Bandcamp that you could like buy a T-shirt from or something. It's just it was sitting up there.
Huh. So now will we have a Motel Breakfast St. Patty's Day specific shirt now?
I mean, we could. I mean, honestly, I can't believe we haven't done some sort of Irish themed merch before. But there's so much like Irish themed crap, for lack of a better word, like you know,
we don't need more shamrocks,
you know, like the
no, that'll be the socks. It'll the be socks shamrocks weed. And weed.
Yeah, weed or right, shamrocks. Okay.
Nobody will
a
ever
very
know.
Niche overlap of the people who smoke pot and listen to traditional Irish music.
Again, three pairs only.
Another shirt I've seen is like, you know how you got like a marijuana leaf and it says legalize it? Mm-hmm. It'd be pretty funny. Just have a shamrock.
Legalize it.
Okay, well, write that down.
Write it down. Think, yeah. Underneath, you say blaze it. Yeah.
We are sending you
that's
to the,
really good.
We're sending you to 1 hour tease like right after this interview.
Seriously, we have friends at Lucky Prince in Chicago. They're like right in West Town area. I'll hit them up after this and tell them we got one hot off the press.
Can you get these done by St. Patrick's Day? We need to legalize being Irish.
Love it. So yeah, the banjo might come back. Who knows?
I just got a pair of bagpipes too. So.
Oh wow! True. Bring it all in together. True.
When like. I mean, I'm scrolling TikTok and I see a bunch of people who play guitar just like doing Midwest emo riffs and coming up with like whatever, you know, makes sense for them. Like, oh, I'm a hyper pop guitarist. I'm a guitarist. And it's like, man, just put a banjo in there. Just be like, oh, here's my like pop punk banjo cover. And it's just like you're scrolling through, you see, you go, damn, like he's shredding. And like this is just a twinkly little emo riff, but done
I've
on a
seen
banjo.
It. I've seen someone do like American Football's Nevermind, but like folk, you know.
Yeah.
They got the banjo doing that little riff. I think Belmont had a song once with a banjo in it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Can they did that? Like country song, yeah. Yeah. It was like a parody.
Country Girl, it was called.
Yeah. Yep.
I feel like there's a niche somewhere for us to cover like Hot Mulligan songs with the banjo.
Oh, yeah.
I can see
lead
that.
Guitar. That would actually be pretty dope, honestly.
Which See, Hot Mully song would you cover, though? I love Hot Mully.
Yeah.
Make this for you. He's the Hot Mully guy.
Let's go.
Yeah, I got to think about it. It'd probably be like, thinking of like Jim's ability to scream isn't that much, so I'd be concerned. I don't know. I'm just going to say like, Heme wasn't there just because I listened to that song an hour ago. or like, I don't know. Drink Milk and Run. Let's do that one.
Okay, there you go.
I'm not a huge fan of Hot Mulligan, so I'm like, yeah, whatever one you do.
Crazy.
If you made it more folk, maybe I like it more.
That's kind of how I am.
Be kind of fun to folk something up again. We haven't really went into that realm lately.
Well, also, Tades from Hot Mulligan lives in Chicago now, so why don't you just link up with him?
Yeah, get him on it.
Fucking wish. Hey, Tades, what's up? Can I hang out?
Come on out, Tades.
Hey, don't be a coward. Come out.
Don't be cowards.
You both played sold-out shows on the 15th, so can't say anything about it.
I'm actually like in the Drink Milk and Run music video. I'm the groom. I don't know if you knew that.
I saw that like call for it, and I think we had an interview that night because it was just in Downers. Because I got like the deets, and I'm like, this is the one time I wish I could cancel an interview because I can just go.
Yeah, it was in Downers Grove, and last minute the director. called me and said that their lead actor and actress dropped out. So asked if my girlfriend and I would do it. So we are the lead characters in that movie.
Hell yeah.
Weirdly enough.
Babe, get in the car. Hot Mulligan needs us.
That literally happened. And then we also had to run to a thrift store to get her like a wedding dress.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Because it was like a wedding themed. And I was like, hey, you know, because she's not a huge fan of theirs either.
She must really love you. She's like, I guess yeah. I got to do this.
Like, actually, I was like, hey, I know like we love to spend Sundays doing nothing, but how does driving an hour to the suburbs and being in a music production for a band you don't like for 6 hours sound? Like, does that sound fun to you?
And you also have to wear a wedding dress that's from Goodwill, also, like off the rack.
Yeah.
And we have to like hang out in the back room of like a, you know, a multi-purpose center for like 3.5 hours if they finish filming. She was a real champ for that one. We had a really great time doing it.
Sounds sick as fuck. Like, that honestly just sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fan either, but I was like, man, I wish I could go to this music video.
I wish I could have gone. I forgot who we interviewed that night. Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm fucking pissed.
That's the next one.
Let's talk a little bit about the singles you put out. The Wonder Years. One of them.
That's my name.
That's where okay. it came from.
I don't want to hotel breakfast.
We didn't hide that one.
Yeah.
That wasn't like.
I know. I read that. I was like, did they meant to put like the entire band name? Because it could be it, but maybe not.
We had to settle on it. I really wanted the name to be called Jesus Christ, I'm 26, which is like a quote straight from Passing Through a Screen Door.
Yeah.
So I had to meet in the middle and just name it Wonder Year.
Couldn't be that on the nose, huh?
I would have been so. Yeah, that's fine. I like the new name.
There's like somebody was saying that there's so many songs now that are like either the lyrics or the titles of them are written for SEO. And then there was like people who were responding like, I wasn't thinking of SEO when I named my band. I was wearing H&M or some shit like that. I forget who said that. And that also should be the title of a song on somebody's album in the future.
Yeah, it could be your guys's. You just steal it right now.
Yeah, well, I love that. I wasn't thinking of SEO when I named my band. Oddly enough, we kind of were thinking of SEO when we named our band.
I know
we're. So when we named our band, we were just throwing shit at the wall to see what would stick. We were literally just like, not verb noun or like an adjective noun kind of thing. And somebody said Motel Breakfast. I don't know. It just got thrown out. And we Googled it to just like see what would, you know, what came up. And all it was like a couple guys writing really bad reviews about their Motel 6 like breakfast experience. And like that was it. It was just like a bunch of people like bitching about it online. And we were like, well, that's it. That's like all that's hilarious. not SEO in the way that like, you know, we're really trying to optimize things, but SEO in the way that like all that existed were people complaining about Motel 6. So. Yeah. We'll take it.
Well, now when people search Wonder Years, they're going to find your song maybe too in there.
Yeah, just wait till our next single is Hot Mulligan. And mm-hmm. then, you know, we're just going to keep on. Well, we already have Modern Baseball. Shit, dude. We really are just doing this, huh? We didn't even realize
that. Just keep playing it to the bit.
Yeah.
The kids like the bit.
In a way, I mean, like.
Yeah, that.
Like Hot Mulligan calling a song. Quad.
Yeah. Hot Mulligan calling a song All That I Wanted by Michelle Branch, like,
yeah. And featuring Mark Hoppus, like,
yeah, it's like
on.
Clearly you're doing something, they're doing it too. So, if anything, you're just, I learned it from them.
That was another name I wanted for Wonder Year in the very beginning. I had pitched, I really wanted it to be called, quote, Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah,
I thought that would be really cool.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, we just got outvoted. That's why us two are on this call together.
Say, so you guys were supposed to have your primary vocalist, your 80% time vocalist, Jimmy, on here, but you said he's sick. So right now, it's open floor. You can start any rumor you want about him right now.
Or I know, we can do whatever we want.
Yep.
Well, that's kind of the beauty about Mick running TikTok and Twitter, because Jim is not on Twitter or TikTok, and so we actually just do start those rumors anyway. we've been percolating on stuff for years because we know Jim will never see it. So Mick and I just text dumb ideas back and forth to each other, and then, you know, we just kind of press send and hope for the best.
five songwriters, two tweeters.
Well, that's where that's where I mean, this is on Instagram and everybody has access to Instagram, but we were like, let's do something for April Fool's Day. And Mix thought that it would be a good idea to make a poster. Macklemore just announced his tour around in March and April. And Mick was like, okay, well, let's put our name on the Macklemore poster and just put out in the world that we're touring with Macklemore. Like, awesome. To this day, it is our most liked post ever. We got texts from people like, congratulations and shit. People were so excited that we were going on tour with Macklemore. And like, we thought that it was like kind of obvious that we weren't doing that.
Yeah.
But we learned really quickly that like, if you just lie on the internet, people believe it.
Yeah.
So it's fun, I guess.
It's this thing called the lack of media literacy, unfortunately.
Exactly.
We're not
it
trying
was, like,
to
poorly see. Photoshopped, yeah. too. Like, you know, this
on April 1st, and yeah. also the previous April 1st, we also said we are going on tour with Macklemore. So it was the second year. I really didn't
so
think,
are you guys
like,
gonna go on tour with Macklemore this summer is what you're telling us right now.
Yes. If he would just answer a single email, we could make it happen.
Listen, everyone loves Thrift Shop. Where's the banjo version?
Right? Where's the Midwest emo version of Downtown?
You're talking to Mick, a very non-ironic Macklemore fan. He loves it. Were you at
his Aragon show?
No.
Okay.
I haven't been a fan in a while. I think The Heist was a really good album. Mm-hmm. I also thought This Unruly Mess I Made was an amazing album. Then I gave up listening. I haven't actually been a fan in a while. But I have seen him five or six times, and I've enjoyed every single one of them.
I've heard he's great. I've heard he's really entertaining.
Hell yeah.
It's like you're not going to have a bad time at that Macklemore show.
At the very least, you're going to hear Thrift Shop.
Yeah.
At the very least, you're going to.
Now, here's the thing. When will you go on tour with AJR? Not AJJ, the other one, the bad one.
I mean, hey, we have said from the beginning of this band that we would sell out in a heartbeat and go on tour with any band that we think we don't like. AJR, if you want to take us on a world tour, fuck it. We'll do it.
We're right there.
Greta Van Heat.
Imagine Dragons. We'd love to.
What about, so even though Kings of Leon's new album is coming up on your day, would you go on a worldwide tour with them?
Those bastards named their album like the same thing that we named our album. So our album name is I Promise I'm Having Fun. And what is theirs? Like, Can We Have Fun Now or something like that? Like, Can We Have Fun? I would go on tour with Kings of Leon. I love their first record is
their
actually
their first record
like,
smacks
gold. But then they just got too famous.
I randomly
like,
heard them
kind
on
of a pop band.
I heard them on SiriusXM Octane last year, like only 4 months ago. And I'm like, why is Kings of Leon on here? Sexin' on Fire is not a metal song.
Yeah, on Octane. Yeah,
but they came out with like a butt rock song, and I'm like, is this how they sound now? I don't know if I like this.
I'm afraid to listen. First album was a work of art.
Yeah, Sex on Fire, fantastic. Hey guys, guess what? We have more emo social content for you that gets left on the cutting room floor and just extended interviews and all other shenanigans over on our new Patreon. Well, not new, a little bit revamped Patreon. So just for either free, $99, or $1 a month if you want to get access to a little bit more content. You can support us in what we're doing here at ESC and all the content that we are putting out. And of course, just consume more of us in our maybe bad takes. You can check it out through the link in the bio or simply search on Patreon Emo Social Club. So with some of your new songs that are coming out, we've talked about it obviously has more of a Midwest emo tinge to it compared to your other stuff, which sometimes like gave me more of like an alt country vibe, which I really did enjoy because I thought it was different for that time, especially when you were starting on 2017, kind of like that peak indie like scene here in Chicago. How have fans like been receptive of that now with you kind of pivoting a little bit in the sound? Because obviously we can still tell it's Motel Breakfast with a lot of their different strings, but how have people been with the twinkly strings in here?
It was definitely a little odd starting to, before we even had released the songs, you know, we would play them live just to kind of get a better feel for them. And, you know, one of our last songs called Fairview Avenue that came out a month or so ago is a bit more on the heavier side. It doesn't even, you know, it didn't, not so much twinkly. It's more on the heavier, yellier side, which is definitely one of the farthest departures from, you know, our folk-ishness. And there was definitely a little bit of surprise from the audience. We could tell, which is fun. I think people enjoyed it. You know, who am I to comment on that? But it definitely was an interesting change of pace. I think for us live, for, you know, the people who have been seeing us for really a long time, just like whipping out a headbanger. but, you know, folks seem to like it. Hopefully we'll do more of it.
That's one thing we talk about a lot is like, do we want to kind of keep things really consistent and just make a very specific type of music? Or are we okay kind of doing just what we want to do? And we've, you know, chosen the latter on that, where we're at the point where like, as long as we're the ones playing the music, like we're cool with it. Like that's, we're comfortable that like we, even though it might be a different genre or something, it's still going to sound like us. And so that's one thing that I think it's kind of just a benefit of having multiple songwriters and things like that. You know, we're going to put out more Midwest emo leaning songs because Mick loves that shit. And you know, that's just kind of like, you know, part of the game. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's exciting to kind of do both. We definitely, you know, can see the crowd reactions to different things, but, our moms tend to like the folk stuff. You know, they're not gonna love Jim screaming his head off as much. But hey, you know, we're not only for the moms. So we're cool doing a little bit of everything.
I found that, like, I mean, obviously a lot of bands now do have multiple genres and multiple influences that go into their sound. And like, it might not be that like you can hear it in each song, but it might be like, here's a song that is specifically this genre, and here's a song that's specifically this genre. And audiences tend to be like fine with it, even if it's not like their favorite thing. Like, you know, going to the show, you're going to hear all these songs, and it might feel like I think some people might think that it feels incongruent, like there's no like through line between all the sounds, but like people have fun at the shows and they're like, yeah, I like that song, maybe this isn't for me, I'll go get a drink at the bar, I'll come back and I'm headbanging to the next one. So I don't know, I mean, I feel like audiences get it. I don't think it hurts.
Yeah, I think sure. Also, it makes putting the set list together, you know, interesting too. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we're going to be loud here followed by the quiet, you know, it helps to, you know, set up a kind of a show and keep it interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just the same sort of tempo and volume the whole time.
Yeah. We'll craft the set list kind of depending on what audience we expect. Some of the smaller venues or things like that, you know, like more intimate, maybe we do some of the more intimate songs. When we want to be loud, then we'll be loud. So yeah, Metro will be a little bit of everything for sure.
Yeah. What is the most emo song you are listening to right now?
I pull out my phone.
Yeah.
You gotta check.
I've been super into Ben Quad lately. Mm-hmm. Blood for the Blood God, I think, is just such a cool song. And also a guy named Harrison Gordon, I've been really super, me, Jesse and I the same, who's kind of out of Champagne, does sort of, I don't know if it's emo, I wouldn't know what to put in it, but he's got a song called Bleach that I really, really love.
Yeah, I was gonna say Harrison Gordon. Mick showed me his record, The Yuppies Are Winning, and it's a great record. Is he still in school? I think, yeah.
Oh,
shout out Harrison.
You got that hard copy.
Physical media?
Yeah.
Oh, it came with a sticker that I love. It says, and I got it on my case over there, it's like in the theme of a political sticker. It says Harrison Gordon 2024, make my dick work again. And I thought that was one of the funnier things.
Oh no.
Oh no.
And yeah, I think it's a one of one sticker. And he said the next person to buy a CD gets this sticker. And I just
ran
to the link in bio. I really wanted it.
All right, that's awesome.
So going off of that, overall, we talked a lot about your music, but what was the inspo for some of your songs that you've chosen as singles, and also overall the album that you're currently going to eventually play a show and maybe tour on? What really like triggered you guys to like get in and do this, especially since you've been in development for this for about like almost like 4 or so years?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think since a lot of these songs are a little older, there's a little nostalgia in there. I think we wanted to, you know, kind of channel that in a lot of the songs. And I think maybe, you know, that's almost where we leaned into the Midwest emo kind of twinkly guitars a little bit more too. Like I grew up on a little bit more of that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, a little bit of that. It's just, this is the first album that all five of us have contributed to, like, writing lyrics and like, kind of from the ground up. And so it feels like a new version of us in a way. And so, yeah, as far as like what really like inspired it or kind of brought us, you know, to that, it's really just the fact that we all, you know, are friends and all are sending each other music back and forth constantly. And so that's just, I don't know, not the best answer, but that's kind of like, well, that's all it is. It's like, it's these voice memos that just kind of turn into songs, and it's like, okay, like these work together, right? And like, let's put it out. It's about time.
Were there any like specific artists or songs that you were like, I want to do this, or I'm stealing Hot Mulligan for this, or any other artists, man, like that?
There's, I mean, a even song like 2 years ago, record, or,
yeah.
Sorry, there's a song on the record, that I wrote, that I definitely just wanted to write a Slaughter Beach Dog song. I love those guys. I love Modern Baseball, and I just like love the way that they sing and like the cadence of the words and things like that. And so 100%, I just wanted to rip off, you know, yep, something that they did, for sure. At least for one of the songs.
Yeah.
I feel like another of the unreleased songs, we very much were like, how cool would it be to write a Talking Heads song? Like, what's our version of a Talking Heads song? So, yeah, there's definitely a bit of that. And then, you know, you always kind of set out to write a song in the style of a band, and then you always end up kind of falling short of what they would sound like, but that ends up being what you sound like. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's usually why I say, just, I'm going to rip off this shit and I don't care, because right, it's not going to sound like them. It's going to sound like me doing them, and that's going to create my own sound out of it, versus right, like,
all the good songs were written already. So yeah, just like start ripping off old ones. They'll eventually kind of sound like your own new stuff.
Yeah.
We say constantly when we're practicing or writing that every song sounds the same. Like every song's the same. Like, it's okay. You can continue to do that. So
yep.
Yeah. It's nice to keep in the back of our heads.
It's only 13 notes, you know?
You can only do so much with
it. You got to use them in...
It's only 13 notes, and we only know, like, three. So, yeah. Oh, what a word.
The next record, you're going to learn the fourth.
Maybe. Tall test.
Since you're from Chicago, let's talk a little bit about the music scene here. What do you think about the music scene in Chicago specifically? Like, how... Obviously, you're playing the most legendary venue in Chicago for the show, but you know, where else do you like to play shows? Where else have you seen bands that you've absolutely loved? Is there any other up and coming bands that you're like really into in Chicago?
The music scene in Chicago is beautiful. It's awesome to be a part of it. You mentioned Whitney earlier. Mm-hmm. They are people that we aspire to be. You know, like, they inspire us for sure. Twin Peaks isn't really around anymore, but that is another band that like we've kind of followed, you know, years ago, together. As far as venues go, I mean, we've played at the Empty Bottle, such a beautiful place. Tally Hall we haven't played at, but I've seen so many shows there. That's maybe my favorite venue in the city. And then like Lincoln Hall comes, you know, to mind. We got the chance to play there a year or two ago, And that venue's just like, it's like new, which is nice compared to some of the other venues where like everything's just like really nice in there.
Yep.
But overall, I mean, we feel so lucky that we are in Chicago, like, and there's such a thriving scene. And before Mick answers, what bands are like up and coming? Neptune's Core is this band that they're like 17.
I know, I saw them at House of Vans last year. My old intern manager, Miss Alex White from White Mystery, was like, yeah, I used to babysit them. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
It's insane. They're in high school and like they're now going to South By this year. They're actually playing the Metro with Freako on Friday, I think. Yeah, so if you're into another Metro show, that's Freako and Neptune's Core. Freako, another band that's like getting all the buzz in the world. Yeah, I don't know. There seems to be a new band all the time. Like Chicago just is breeding them, and it's so cool to kind of see everybody thrive.
Yeah, Jesse, I mean, pretty much summed up all of the favorite venues. I just went to a venue called Book Club for the first time. It's all the way up in, like, I want to say Ravenswood. It might be a little south of
that.
But that was really cool. I couldn't tell if it was a DIY space or not. You could, like, look it up on Google Maps, so that made me believe it was a real venue. but it was very much just someone's living room, so that made me feel like it was a DIY space.
Yeah.
In terms of bands coming up, I just saw actually at Lincoln Hall last weekend a band called Totally Cashed, and they blew me away. They're so awesome. They put out a show called Rage Forest Cafe. They must have had like 9 people on stage at one point, just headbanging, and so cool. I love those guys. They make some genuinely awesome music, and they also make country tunes, but like still sound screamy and thrashy, which I love. And they just put out like a noise song. It's like a punk rock noise mix song that ends with like 5 seconds of hardcore static.
Oh my god,
it's really cool. Those guys, they rock.
Rage Force Cafe is my new favorite phrase now.
Yeah,
right. Rules.
Just incredible. We also we're homies with Rick Wilson and his band. His trumpet player will play with us occasionally, and so Rick is doing big things, and it's cool to see him playing shows in Europe and things like that. So check him out if you're unfamiliar.
One thing we know for sure is that even after your Metro show, people are going to be asking, when and where are you going on tour? Is there any tours on the lineup? Did you find a booking agent? Because I saw your Twitter. Seems like Jimmy may lose it if he has to book a tour.
Yeah, if anyone wants to be our booking agent, we cannot pay well. we're definitely got a tour in the works, most of which will be announced fairly soon.
That's the loudest rapper ever. That was insane, dude.
It's a dub. Sorry. Yeah, we're going on tour soon. That static you heard was...
It's actually that
dumb.
Noise.
It's the noise.
That,
the
it was
end.
That noise
yeah.
song you were telling us about. You were
yeah, that was, I was playing Totally Cash New Song. I definitely wasn't only opening a pack of Trident Layers. but yeah. Tour announcement soon, I assume. We probably won't announce anything until after the Metro and just put all our promotional stock into that.
Yep.
But yes.
Yeah, I think we're sticking in the Midwest for this like upcoming tour. We have a couple shows in Milwaukee. We actually are playing in Milwaukee on Friday. So Milwaukee's like a second home to us. Mick lived there a couple of years. Our Jim lived there for like 8 years. So Milwaukee definitely feels like home in a lot of ways too. So yeah, we'll be there on Friday with our boys Diet Light, another dope band from Midwest.
Next question. We talked a little bit about Wonder Years. God, I still want to do it. I still want to call it the Wonder Years.
That's good. That was the point.
I know, exactly. We talked a little about Wonder Year, Fairview Avenue, and MB, as in Modern Baseball, as the singles. What was it about those songs when you were putting this record together that had you choose those, the singles to put out, or put some energy behind those versus the ones that are just on the record, which could be a single later? Who knows?
I think MB, at least, we wrote it in like a day and it just felt right. Like that song just like kind of came about, and all of us were like I think we wrote it on like a Thursday practice, and like we played it live on Saturday. We were all so excited about that song, like how it kind of came about, and it was really quick. And so that one was kind of a no-brainer for us. And that one has seems to be received pretty well, and so that, you know, that's been great. And then the other two, I don't know, at least from my point of view, they're a little bit different. Like Wonder Year and Fairview are kind of opposites in a lot of ways, and so that was a little bit of the strategy there, I think.
Cool. Are there other ones on the album that you want to put out as singles later?
Oh, well, so we do have, like, Orchard that we do have out already will be on the album. Like, so Wonder Year is our last song that is, like, released from the record. Mm-hmm. So, between now and April 5th, you won't have another MB song. So listen to what we got out there right now.
Yeah, listen to the five singles already out. You'll have a pretty good idea of the album.
You'll be able to be like, am I going to be at this gig or not?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, you'll like something. That's why maybe that's why we vary the genres a little bit. You can't hate them all. Is the idea.
And if you hate them all, you just hate music.
Yeah,
exactly.
And now for our last question, we talked a little bit about it, but what type of collab would you do, and who would you want to do it with? So if you had guest vocals, or you had somebody as like a guitarist or a banjo player, a mandolin player.
Yeah, Macklemore, come on, is there. The answer.
Who would you want it to be with?
Probably Macklemore. I don't know. Just so you know someone.
Countless number of names. We would love to, just keeping it hometown. We would love to put out a song with Rick Wilson. We've actually floated that with him before, because he's a rapper, and it's funk and soul, and it he has this really cool sound. And we would just love to be his backing band, you know, for his song. And so that was at least the first thing that came to mind for me. I don't know, as far as a specific guitarist, we're just really lucky that we know a lot of really talented people. So we have friends that we like their voices, and they're on the album already. And that trumpet player I mentioned, he's on, you know, like, so we're just lucky. We got a lot of people that we just want to involve. And they were lucky enough that they said, sure. So,
we'll go ahead. Wait. And we'll get into the plugs, where people can find you on the internet, where they can get the tickets to the show, where they can pre-save the album, all that stuff, where they can find the Irish folk music on your Bandcamp, yes. Anything like that that you want to shout out so they know where to go.
Most importantly, the Irish folk album is on Bandcamp. I think it's called Irish All the Same. We wrote a couple originals. Yeah, this
new
Irish
show.
Album came out 3 years ago. We recorded it on cheap microphones and shit. But that's cool. Listen to that. You could also donate money via that, and we donated to Pat Max Pack. So shout out Pat Max Pack. Album, everything be on Spotify. That's where most people listen. It'll be on Apple Music, all that fun stuff. Metro tickets on sale, metro.com. I'm sure that's probably the easiest to find it. Link in the bio. Follow us on Instagram and specifically Twitter. So you can hear mine and Mick's thoughts on everything. And that's where we will start rumors about the other band members, okay. Because they are not on that platform. Then TikTok. We are continually making content on TikTok for fun. And so that'll be good. There's a music video coming out. We'll have a merch and stuff. We're doing some cool embroidery merch coming up.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, we're pretty loud on the internet. We're all chronically online. Not all. Mick and I are chronically online. Yeah. So
you have to have a designated group of people in the band who are chronically online all the time. Otherwise, you will never thrive.
You got to have at least one or two. And so, look, you know, that's Mick and I.
You got to know what's hot, you know, what's doing on the internet. You got to know
you got to be up on the trends.
You got to be up on the trends, on the TikTok noises, on, you know, et cetera.
And skibbity toilet and everything.
Yeah. I don't get that one still.
That one, no, I don't really fully understand either.
It's awesome. It's so good. I get it.
I think I aged out of that one.
I as generally the oldest one in every room that I walk into. I tell people, I tell other people about Skibidi Toilet. I'm like, you gotta check this out. It's so good. And like, what the hell am I watching? It's like the heads in the toilets, they come down, they're like the enemy, and the TV and the camera guys, and they got TVs for heads. They're like the good guys.
Oh my god.
And I don't really get invited to a lot of rooms to be the oldest person in anymore. they don't really.
If there's like, one thing that I want the band to be, it's trendy.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And, you know.
Well, awesome, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. And obviously, everybody listening should go and check out the show when this comes out. You still have time to get tickets. Go get them now. And, you know, blaze it if you do on 420.
Just outside the venue.
Yeah, outside the venue. Yeah,
definitely not inside the venue.
Do not blaze it inside the venue, weed style. This makes me sound like I definitely know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Do not blaze it weed style in the show.
You can't blaze it in your vape pen either.
Do not blaze it in the show. Blaze it outside the show. But do blaze it for the breakfast. I don't know.
Okay, you went too far.
Blaze it in, like, for vibes.
Yeah, yeah. Vibe should be blazing.
Vibes should be blazing.
Metaphorically blaze.
Yeah.
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 Inside, physically blaze it outside.
Physically blaze, metaphorically blaze inside.
Here.
It's just like one of those pics of like the mega, like your brain is like going to like mega mind energy. That's like literally just what that was.
Yeah. Take all Megamind. Of this for
he's,
your marketing.
He's our muse for the album is Megamind. So.
Okay, that makes sense.
And Boss Baby.
And
Boss Baby. Can't forget Boss Baby.
Sick. Well, yeah, make sure you're following Motel Breakfast on everything. You're at the show. And once again, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Cool. Thank you all.
Thanks so much for listening, guys, to this week's episode. To hear the full unedited podcast, go on over to our Patreon. It's free to subscribe if you want to get everything that's on the cutting room floor. It's all accessible to you there. And for just $1, $5 a month, you can get full access to everything too. Till then, I have been Lizzie, and Brian is, I don't know, maybe asleep. Who knows? We'll see you later. Bye.